If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Pretty well to right field. Yastrzemski going back, looking up, and that ball is out of here. It's an opposite field two-run homer for Salvador Perez, and the Royals lead it 6-1. That's his third homer on the year, 397 feet to the opposite field, and the Royals up by 5.
I guess you could chalk that one up as something you love to see. About time. Feels good to see Salvador Perez do that. Of course, yesterday we had Matt Cotrero on the show asking him about Salvi, and basically gave us notion that we should have all placed a bet on any time home run for Salvador Perez.
We do have those conversations, but he's in a good spot mentally, and I would bet on him breaking out.
So thank you, Q.
There it is, right?
Thank you, Bob and Dusty, for advocating for him to take a day off. Sometimes reverse psychology works, but I thought yesterday's win against the Giants was kind of a very big statement win for the Royals. You had your backs against the wall with the bullpen game. You were going to throw Lynch for hopefully two. You were going to keep continuing to go down the line of relief pitcher, relief pitcher, relief pitcher, and hope that you had a chance that by the time, and I heard Cotrero say this on the Royals pregame show, that he wanted to hopefully have a chance to get to his big guns when the game mattered most. Luckily, your offense came out, and from the jump, we're alive, we're hitting the ball. And, you know, we joked yesterday, do your work against a guy with one eye. Boy, did the Royals offense show up yesterday at a time in need when you really needed that offense to show up.
It was huge yesterday. And scoring 8 runs, I mean, that's moving mountains today in Major League Baseball, not just for the Royals, but for everybody. I mean, runs have been at a premium this year. And so I thought that was great. But, you know, the Salvi stuff yesterday, he started the day swinging and missing and striking out, right, yesterday. And it was 3 straight singles, I think. And then, as you said, 3 straight strikeouts for the Royals. And they only got 1 run early. And you're thinking, all right, here we go again. And Salvi had another strikeout. And I think, like, the conversation surrounding Salvador Perez is one that's, I think, very interesting for a lot of people. Because, as we know, Carrington and Rob have been writing him off since 2015. I think they've been saying that he's been kind of washed on that one. And a lot of people are kind of getting to that point. My buddy Jim, who keeps texting me about Salvi, is like, it's not just this year. He's gone back the last 100 games. So basically, you know, half of last season, the postseason, and this year. And he goes, the numbers just haven't been there. Move him down in the lineup. And we talk about this. And I was thinking a lot about Salvi yesterday, especially after that first strikeout, because I think Salvi and the way that we view Salvador Perez is different than any other athlete in Kansas City, because he represents more than just himself. He represents the beginning of this golden era that we're in Kansas City sports right now. And I do believe that golden era started in 2014. And we're currently in the middle of it with the way that the Chiefs and Royals and even the current right now are doing their thing, right? And Salvi's that guy who's connected to the past, but he's also the guy that's here in the future and kind of ties all this thing in together. He was also the first guy of this golden age of sports to believe in Kansas City and to take that contract offer early from the Kansas City Royals and become that guy that we've all been looking forward to sign that contract in Kansas City, stay here while Beltran and Dye and Damon and Tony Gonzalez and all these guys that we've loved over the years, you know, walked out the door. Salvi was kind of that first guy, those young guys, to stay here in Kansas City. He was the first one that's been called up. He's seen it all. And his decline means more than just, oh, Salvi's at 35, he's declining. It means we're starting to get out of that original era of what we're seeing here and how he was a pioneer in Kansas City sports. And really, guys, the first athlete to make Kansas City cool. And so Salvi was kind of the pioneer in all of this, kind of laid the groundwork as that first athlete to where we are now. Put the Royals on the map. He embraced Kansas City. We embraced him back. It became this love affair. And so watching him struggle, I think, is more than just a random athlete going out there and struggling. We're seeing our first true sports hero of this generation kind of fade away and kind of get to the end of the line. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a tough time dealing with Salvi getting to that point because I'm not ready for Salvi. And so seeing him be big yesterday, that was fantastic. That was great.
Yeah, a lot of that, most of that I agree with. I think there are different, obviously different sports, different people for different reasons that are who they are. I think there are a lot of parallels of Salvador Perez and Travis Kelce. Obviously Salvador Perez is, you know, the face or, you know, of the Royals franchise. Obviously Mahomes is the face of the Chiefs franchise because of the position he plays, which is quarterback. But I would say that with Travis Kelce, he was here with the Alex Smith. He was drafted. Yeah. He kind of bloomed into this personality even before the Chiefs got really, you know, to the top of the mountain. Whereas Salvador Perez was the guy as well. He was here. He was laughable. He was part of that 13, 14, 15, 16 seasons with all those, you know, celebrities of Kansas City. And now he's here again, riding it out. And a lot of people are having a hard time understanding that time waits for nobody.
Nobody.
Right. And Salvador Perez is still efficient. He had a great game yesterday. I'm not ready to jump all in and say he's back, but to go 3 for 5, 7 total bases yesterday's game and have 2 RBIs and one of those be an opposite field home run, that's something where even a guy that's a veteran in Salvador Perez can have those games. You'd like to see a little bit more of them. I don't need to see that, you know, every other series or every series, you know, once a night. But that, I think, is what you're going to need Salvador Perez to do in a situation like that. Be the captain, be the leader, drive in runs, because you're in a game where you don't have one of your most efficient pitchers, right? Minnesota gets a hell of a slate with the Kansas City Royals this weekend with who's pitching for them, because it's Noah Cameron, who's been lights out in 2 starts. We'll see if he can do it again. Chris Bubich, who's early onset, could be starting the All-Star game for the American League, could be a Cy Young candidate, probably should be a Cy Young candidate. And then you have Michael Wacha, who's ERA sub-3.
Yep.
So yesterday was a game in which you needed to lean on your captain. But we can all agree that, we've heard Vern say this, you don't need a 35-year-old catcher hitting fourth in your lineup and hoping to have him be that guy. We go back to Max's take and maybe a little bit of mine, where we're going to see this football season. We shouldn't need a 35-year-old tight end to be the focus of the offense every single week. Will there be those games where you're playing a dynamite secondary? Maybe it's Denver, and you need Travis Kelce to have one of those every once in a while. You know, 8 catches, 85 yards and touchdown. Sure. But am I okay as long as Sal's hitting 250, hits about 15 to 20 home runs, knocks in 70 to 80? That's fine.
That's a hell of a year.
Right, for a 35-year-old catcher, you better believe it. Do I need Travis Kelce to have 1,090 catches and 12 touchdowns? No. I need him to just be the leader of the team on offense, be the captain, per se, for the Chiefs. And I think you're going to see a lot of similarities in the fan base when it comes to these two guys at this point in their career. Personalities are kind of the same. Leadership qualities are kind of the same. Roots, origins of Kansas City, they've never played anywhere else, kind of the same. But we're also seeing the decline, which is okay, because that's what careers are. That's what sports do to us. And I think what we saw yesterday in Salvador Perez was, you know, maybe a shot at me, maybe a shot at you, like, fellas, I'm not that done yet. I'm just not what I used to be, and it might be a tough reality. Whereas later on in this regular season, we might see Travis Kelce be like, hey, I'm not washed. I just ain't 31-year-old Travis. I'm 35-year-old Travis.
Well, and also, too, you know, Travis obviously has saved it for the postseason for the last couple of years, and that's been outstanding, and that's really what matters most. Maybe Salvi's on that gravy train as well. You know what? Just get through the regular season, do my thing, and then when the postseason gets here. Now, I think it's harder to do that in baseball than it is in football, because baseball is all about timing, and you've got to get all that kind of nonsense down, and, you know, the 64 baseball excuses that Swanee gave us one day. But I will say that as I look at what he did yesterday, it was good, because it was against that's a good team as well. I mean, we can talk about the one-eye pitcher. His ERA is 2.67. I mean,
Logan was good.
And that's after giving up three runs yesterday. So he came into that game with a mid-2 ERA.
He's got a winning record, correct?
He's 5-4 now. Yeah. So he was 5-3. Yeah. He's a good pitcher. No, the point of the story
and
is
that's a good team.
It's a good team. It's a good pitcher. Salvi did it against the good side of things. He didn't do it against the Rockies, right? He did it against a real baseball team. He did it against a legitimate organization out there yesterday. And I think that's what matters most. And I think you're right with the Travis Kelce comparison, because he was the first Chief to really make Kansas City cool. Salvi was the first Royal to make Kansas City cool.
Of these eras,
of the
right?
Same, yeah. We're not going back to, like, but
well,
Salvi's
Jackson was pretty cool, Bob.
I know, but I mean, like, Salvi's the best player that came along since George Brett. There's no question about it. He's the second best Royal of all time at this point, right?
No
and he's going to go into the Hall of Fame and all of this kind of stuff. And again, I think it's important because Salvi came along in a time where and I still think there's a lot of shell-shocked fans out there not quite sure how to adjust to this winning as we see on the text line from time to time. But I think Salvi was that first guy that came along and said, hey, Kansas City's a pretty cool place and kind of, you know, gave us the opportunity to see an athlete want to be here and stay here as opposed to a guy like Tony Gonzalez who a couple years prior walked out the door and said, we're never going to win here in Kansas City. And he wasn't wrong with that organization the way it was at that time. He wasn't here with Andy Reid, obviously. He was here at the beginnings of Todd Haley and Scott Pioli and saw the writing on the wall real fast and bailed. Mm-hmm. And then we got mad at him because he told us the truth of what was going on here in Kansas City. But Salvi was that first guy who committed to us. And that came at a time when we needed somebody to commit to us. And we needed somebody to show us that the Royals were moving in the right direction. And I'll never forget, we were doing the show at that golf course, Firekeeper in Topeka, Kansas, the night Salvador Perez was called up. Like, how many of these stories do you remember where you were when so-and-so was called up? And I remember sitting in the hotel room in Topeka at the casino watching that debut against the Tampa Bay Rays going, damn, this guy may be pretty good. He had a great debut that day. And Salvi's been everything that we've asked for as an athlete. And that's why I'm not ready to quote-unquote write him off or say that he's washed. This guy deserves the benefit of the doubt right now from all of us. And he's the type of guy, after we saw what he did yesterday, let's rally around Salvador Perez and you know, give him that hero's welcome that he deserves, because we're better when he's better. And I don't think it does any good sitting here saying this guy has done this, that, or the other. We can see what's going on, and it should, for you personally, when you're watching these games, more and more just kind of enjoy what you're seeing with Salvador Perez, because the end is a lot closer than the beginning was, and we know what all the years were in between. We're getting towards that end, so start enjoying Salvador Perez. But I'm not ready to say it's time to, you know, cast him off and, you know, send him to the moon or anything like that.
Right.
Beautiful planet.
I think, again, like, I think that's just the conversation, because I think there are at times in life with sports, there are those tough conversations to be had. And it's just one of those things where I still firmly believe that Salvador Perez should hit fifth or sixth in this lineup. And I think Michael Garcia should lead off.
That was a great move yesterday by having Garcia lead off. He does a great job at that spot.
Because started the game off with a hit, next at bat, base hit. And I just think that in that game, and I want to say that I heard Vern say that Garcia has hit over 400 in the leadoff position, and the Royals are now 5-1 with him hitting leadoff. Coincidence? I think not. He's your hottest hitter in your lineup, and then you get to put your best player and the third best player in baseball with a chance to set the tone. Then you go Vinny. Then at 4, I don't know where you go there. Maybe that's where India hits, because he's on base, but at least he can get on. He can keep it going. It won't be a double play more often than not. And then Salvi go 5. And then 6, you know, you can. And that's what's great about this team.
He's hitting 478. Is Mikel Garcia when leading off.
Yeah, and that's a number you can't ignore.
No, you can't. Doubles in the leadoff position, 11 hits. I mean,
he's on second.
He's well, it's funny. His batting average is .478. His on base is .480. So he's only drawing one walk out of that. But even still, I mean, you're getting on base half the time that you're in that leadoff spot. I do think, and I know there will be some baseball ease and some nonsensical reason they'll give us, but why not just make Mikel Garcia your leadoff hitter until he's not anymore? Your numbers are there, and he's getting the job done.
Right, and I think that when you look at the possibilities of him at the leadoff hitter, it's obviously not affected him in any way, shape, or form this year, because you're almost to the point of having a conversation of, do you lock up Mikel Garcia for the future? Mm-hmm. Not an expensive player.
No.
Seems like the perfect type of guy the Royals would keep in their system. He's proving to you that his bat has been there, because we're almost to June and he hasn't skipped a beat.
Right.
I don't know if that conversation happens yet. I think that you wait until the end of July to see if he's still kind of being that productive guy. But I do think, I really do believe that that is your leadoff hitter. Stop playing games with that lineup there. One, two, three. Garcia,
but see, this
Bobby.
This is where I got to tell you, at 37 years old, you're sounding like the old guy in the room, because I'm with you 100% on this. Give me a set lineup and let's go. But for whatever reason, Dusty, I don't know the answer to this. Baseball doesn't want to do that anymore. They want to jumble these lineups all the time instead of just, like, back in the day, it used to be, I want to know that I'm hitting third. Oh, my God, I'm hitting fourth. I'm not going to be able to do that. Now, it's for whatever reason, it's completely changed. There may be some good in that, but I'm with you, man. We got a set lineup. We got this guy that's hitting 500 in the leadoff position. Why aren't we doing that every day? I don't care what anything else tells you. Right. This guy's good in the leadoff spot. You're right.
Because I think that if you put him at the leadoff spot, and then the other spots that I wouldn't mess with is I wouldn't mess with your 8-9. I kind of love what Waters and Kyle Isbell are doing at the bottom of that lineup.
I say it every day. We don't talk about Kyle Isbell enough. Again, yesterday with a great play out there in center field. I mean, like,
I don't know if he saved the game, but that could have been
at that point in time.
That's a big momentum shift.
Yeah.
You talk about the Halliburton three. He makes that diving catch. Everybody in that stadium was like, "Oh, well,
it's
that was
over.
A moment
that takes the air out of your sails."
For sure, it was a huge play.
Yeah, Garcia hasn't even hit arbitration yet. He's got his first arbitration after this season, and he's got two more after that. He's not a free agent until 29. So there is no rush to pay him whatsoever. Now, if you want to do a nice thing and thumb him off a couple of bucks, can do something like that. Then absolutely, yeah.
Because with Garcia, if he can continue, I'm not saying every year he's going to hit 330, but if he can show consistency, be a leadoff hitter, you then essentially have your third baseman set up for the future, your shortstop set up for the future, your first base set up for the future, and that's the cornerstone of your infield.
Why not your center fielder set up for the future?
I mean, yeah.
Isbell's going to be that guy that we're always looking to replace, but at the end of the day, you realize he's just a damn good baseball player. Yeah. Nothing sexy about it, nothing flashy about it. But by God, the guy gets the job done every single time.
Right.
And I think a lot of time in sports, not just us, but I'm talking teams too, they overlook those guys. They spend so much time maybe trying to replace that guy and find somebody better than that guy that they overlook that guy. Mikel Garcia may have been that guy early on in the season too.
Yeah, it's just it's great to see that, and especially when you read those numbers where he's hitting well over 400, the team plays at a higher rate with him being lead off. Because again, they say the cliches in baseball, and they say them for a reason. The table setter, the guy that starts things off, base hit, Bobby, base hit, next guy, RBI. Unfortunately, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. But throughout that day, Mikel Garcia's next time he came up, base hit. What did Bobby do? Double. So, I mean, it's just you have to have those guys hitting there. And I know some people will say they want Mikel Garcia to hit third. I don't think he's that guy.
You got to have somebody get on base to give Bobby the opportunity to drive him
in. And you have to have a little bit of pop. And Vinny's starting to come around a little bit better. That takes pressure off Sal. He can drop to, you know, fifth or sixth and put India somewhere around there.
Or maybe you play Mark Canha out there as your starting left fielder. I mean, what's wrong with going Canha? What's wrong with going Isbell? What's wrong with Drew Waters right now?
There's nothing wrong with
that as long as
you're winning.
As long as you're winning games, exactly. And they're doing just that. And maybe you go with a rotation of Massey and India right now at second base, a platoon, if you will, at that second base spot until both of those guys can kind of get this thing figured out. But the reason they got Jonathan India on this roster was to be that leadoff hitter, to be that table setter for Bobby Witt Jr., right? Sometimes you go into a season, into life, into a situation with a plan, and then you get into that situation, and all of a sudden you've got to deviate from that plan. And that's why I think Andy Reid is so good at what he does, because he's able to deviate, change, make adjustments, all that kind of stuff. A lot of coaches, a lot of managers get this tunnel vision where, well, this was the plan, and this is what we're going to do, and they don't want to deviate. We're starting to see a reason to deviate right now from that plan. But my original point was they went out and got Jonathan India to give Bobby the opportunity to drive in runs early in the game and to give yourself a 1-0 lead. Well, if Mikel Garcia is getting on base at a 50% clip at that leadoff spot, which he is, why wouldn't you do the same thing there and keep him at the top of the lineup to then give Bobby somebody to drive in? Because if Garcia's getting on base every other time, that's a stolen base here and an RBI opportunity for Bobby right there, and you're up 1-0 half the time. I think you got to stick with it. I think your idea of keeping him up that leadoff spot is brilliant.
I think especially if you keep your top four locked. I think you could switch the lineup after that where you mix and match. But your top four guys, I think the way that that can set the tone and get everything going, because you give this pitching staff a 2-0 lead before the third inning. I mean, I like my chances almost 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're going to have some days and all that sort of thing. But again, some reports I heard during pregame show yesterday with Matt Cotrera, with Jake Eisenberg, Reagan's throwing off of a mound, but nothing serious, not using much of his legs. They're going to give him some time, really effective during this 15-day IL stint. And then, you know, you look at the standings, man, and it's annoying because what a great win yesterday. You win a series against the San Francisco 49ers. But Detroit keeps winning. So they're 33-17, which is just insane. But the Royals, 28-23, they're 5.5 back of the AL Central, so nothing to be concerned about. They have 28 wins on the season. That is third most in the AL. The Yankees got their 29th victory yesterday, the Tigers 33, and then the Royals and the Seattle Mariners both have 28 games won. So big series this weekend.
Huge series this weekend. You go to Minnesota,
where good to see Salvi do that, because you'll hear it on Vern's pregame show. I guarantee you it on Friday. You'll hear it on the Royals pregame show. Salvador Perez, he rakes at Target Field.
Yeah, they were already talking a little bit about it on the broadcast yesterday on the TV side. Like, it's good to see Salvi do this now, off day, and then you go into Minnesota for three. And look, those are big games against the Twins right now. That's a winning team. That's a team that's ahead of you or with you in the standings, however you want to look at it. You want to win these games. They're division games. So, you know, go take care of that business up in Minnesota. Don't get your teeth kicked in or anything like that.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
And then you come home, because it doesn't get much easier after that. Cincinnati's rolling into town, and then you have Detroit after that. So it gets real serious real fast. And so really good to take care of the Giants yesterday. People can't sit there and say, oh, they're only winning games against the White Sox and the Rockies. They're not winning against good teams. They just took 2 out of 3 from a very good team in the National League West that probably would end up being a postseason team.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.